you, Pastor Roger. It's good to be with you today. I have not shared the word with you for the past 4 weeks. I had someone this morning before service say, do we have a guest speaker today? I says, yes, I am he. I feel like a visiting pastor. But I want to share with you something that has been put on my heart by the Lord and is very alive to me. Hopefully it will be to you. And it has to do with walking in God's anointing. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 18 through 21. If you are a person who's read much of the life of Jesus, you'll recognize this portion. It's actually quoted out of the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. It's recorded in several of the Gospels. Here's what it says. Jesus is speaking. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." After that, he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." I'm pretty confident that no one who heard him say those words could understand the full implications of what he was saying. I'm not sure that we today, myself included, understand the full impact of those words. When I read this text last week, when I came to the point that says, "Because he anointed me, Spirit of the Lord is upon me," Jesus said, "and because he has anointed me, I am called to do these things." Because he has anointed me. Would you turn to someone and say, he has anointed me. I put it down, I put the scriptures down, it was on my day off, and I said, "Lord," I says, "if you need to be anointed, how much more do we need to be anointed?" But I was brought up in the Pentecostal movement, as some of you possibly. Some of you here who may have different upbringings, maybe you weren't really in any type of church setting. But in the charismatic and Pentecostal movements, there's kind of an understanding of what the anointing is, and oftentimes it's a wrong understanding. That we use the word and we use phrases like "don't touch the anointed" or "you lose your anointing," and really it's a misunderstanding of what the Bible really says about that. And I'm hoping today, in the next 20 minutes before we partake of communion together, that we will uncover some truth about the true anointing that God has given to us. I'd like to say to you as the lead pastor that it is critical. I was going to say it's significant, but I felt impressed to say it's critical that you and I understand and grab a hold of this concept, because it will determine the fruitfulness for us in the future. And it'll determine the fruitfulness for you personally in the future. There are five truths that I want to share with you. The first two really are two truths, but they're concepts that we have to understand, because the other truths really rest upon these two concepts. So hopefully I'll communicate with you the Lord's heart today. The first truth about God's anointing is this: when God anoints something or someone, it is set apart for a special use. When God anoints something or someone, that thing or that person is set apart for one specific thing, and that's God's pleasure. Whatever God wants to use that person for or that thing for, that is exclusively what it is to be used for. The Old Testament word and New Testament word, holy, we are holy. It's spelled H-O-L-Y. There's another way of spelling it, and it's W-H-O-L-L-Y. And they really have the same connotation. We are wholly given to the Lord. Every part of me, my body, my soul, and my spirit, is committed to him exclusively for his purposes. And that's what it means, or in part, the first truth is that's what it means to be anointed, that he anoints something or someone and it's set apart. The way that the people anointed something or someone in the Old Testament, they poured oil out. Sometimes they poured water. There are other times they even poured blood. And there were occasions where they would pour perfume, kind of a basis in oil, upon the item or on the person. And through that act, there was this setting apart that took place. Now, I've never really been a history buff, but I enjoy hearing history, because history really brings meaning to the present. So I want to take you back just kind of for a flyby in the Old Testament, kind of give you some grounding for this term anointed, because some of you may have never even heard about it. Others of you may have heard about it and understand it, and others may be confused as to what it means. But the Old Testament starts by, in the book of Exodus chapter 30, when God spoke to Moses and he says, I want you to anoint every article in the tent of meeting. They used to meet in a tabernacle. We used to meet on 11th Street. God graced us with, because of his grace and his mercy and because of your generosity, we were able to build this facility, and we now meet here. In the Old Testament times, they had a tabernacle, and it was a tent-like thing, and so that they could take it down and put it up easily. And in this tent of meeting, there was many different articles that were in there, pieces of furniture. The reason that God met in the tabernacle is because he wanted his people to know that he doesn't just speak in any one place. He's everywhere. You can't get away from God. Aren't you glad that God just doesn't speak on Sundays? We have this building. It's kind of hard to take this various places, but I want you to know that God can speak to you wherever you are. There's a lot of people on a 3-4-day holiday this weekend, and they're not with us. God's probably speaking to them because he's speaking every place. But he says in Exodus chapter 3, he says, make these into a sacred anointing oil. He's speaking to Moses. A fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be the sacred anointing oil. And then use it to anoint the tent of meeting, the ark of the testimony, the table and all its contents, the lampstand and all its accessories. So the first place we meet this thing about anointing is the anointing of things. Now, my wife has anointed some things around the house. She has set them apart for a specific use, insists that they not be used for anything else. One of them would be our knives. She says that knives are set apart especially for spreading butter and cutting bread and putting peanut butter and jelly out. But I insist on, when I need a screwdriver and I can't find one, I tend to use a screwdriver a knife for a screwdriver. I'm using it for a purpose that it's not intended for. She says that chairs, unbelievable, and this is unbelievable to men probably, that chairs aren't supposed to be used for ladders or step stools. I have a desk chair that swivels, and I'm over there just a while back changing a light bulb, you know, going like this, because you know how the chair, you know, you're not supposed to do that, because that chair wasn't intended for that purpose. It's been set aside. It's been anointed. My grandson, whom I'm delighted with, is learning some of the areas that are anointed, and it seems like he doesn't know any of those areas. He doesn't know what couches are for. We're saying, no, a couch is not a bounce house. Your couch is to sit on. It's been anointed. It's set apart. It's supposed to be used for that and nothing else. I go into the living room the other day, and that must have been, I'm telling you, probably 20 seconds. I come back out. He's pushed a chair over to our little glass table. We have a glass table that seats about two people. You can cram four in, but two comfortably. It's in our little kitchen nook, and he's crawled up onto the table, standing on the table. I didn't even tell you about this, did I? Standing on the table, and he's just smiling, and I'm horrified, you know, because he's going to get hurt, so I have to take him off. He's doing all sorts of stuff like that. Just when I thought that the hard days were behind us, I'm knowing that they're ahead. Things were anointed. They were set apart. This piano has been anointed. It is set apart. It's not going to be used for music that would not be a sweet-smelling sound to our God. This platform is never going to be used for anything that would not bring honor to him. And if something ever happens here, then we'll have to sanctify it again. I felt this morning, and I will be contacting the leadership of this church, we're going to be gathering together to anoint this church again. We're going to touch the doorposts. We're going to touch the chair. We're going to do what God has instructed me to do, because there's a new season that is opening to us, a new season of fresh anointing. And I'll talk to you about that in a few moments. As you go through the Old Testament now, you begin to see that there was another anointing that was on people, specifically upon prophets, upon priests, upon those who were leaders. They had an anointing that they received. Then there was an anointing upon the king. You look at 1 Samuel 16, we pick up a time when the prophet Samuel was looking for a new king. Now, we just had a senator resign because of some acts that he says he did, he says he didn't. I'll let you figure that one out, but he stepped down, he resigned. They'll be looking for a new senator. Samuel was looking for a new king because Saul, the first king of Israel, had sinned, and God had taken him down. So Samuel goes to the house of Jesse, and he says, "Jesse, I'm supposed to talk with your sons." And so he brings out the oldest and the best looking and the strongest, and he says, "Man, this is the guy that I should anoint for the next king." But God says, "No, he's not the one." And so Samuel says, "Well, do you have another son?" And so, sure enough, he had several sons, and they all came before Samuel. And Samuel said, "No, none of these sons are the ones. Do you have anyone else?" And Jesse, the father, says, "Well, yeah, we got my youngest son, David, but he's just a shepherd. Well, bring him in." Sure enough, God brought him in, and he was the one to be the next king. Don't you love that about God? God will look it around. Boy, there's all these people got gifts, and they got education, and they got all the degrees. And he just bypasses many times those. And he says, "Hey, you got nothing going for you, do you? Hey, listen, I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to call you. I'm going to do something in you that you won't believe yourself." And here's what happens. It says in 1 Samuel 16, 13. "So Samuel took the horn of oil, and he anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power." He anointed him, and from that moment on, there was a power that came through him to affect the lives of others. Now that's the first truth that I want you to grab a hold of. Now here's the second truth that you need, and second truth and concept. When God anoints something or someone, there's a transfer of life. Because anointing was the visible pouring out of something onto something else or someone else, and there was a transfer. Anointing is a transfer of life. When life happens, you know that there's an anointing. Man, when something changes, not because you ought to, or you should, or you're forced to, but because something transforms you inside and you're responding to the work of the Spirit, there's an anointing present. Because anointing is a transfer of something. When you put cream on your hands, you can't necessarily see it, but it feels different. I've bought enough cars in my lifetime, and a lot of junkers, to say the least, that they looked fairly bad to others. But when you get some rubbing compound and you polished them out and you put some wax on it, all of a sudden you saw this car, but now you see it in a different way. This car has been always the same car, but now it's totally different because you've transferred something onto that. It's like a wax. 2 Corinthians 2:16 talks about the fact that we are an aroma to the lives of people. My question is, are you an aroma or are you an odor? I was walking by someone this morning, and I just walked by and said, "Man, you smell good." See, that's kind of like that anointing. It's like when people walk by you and they touch you and they talk with you and they get to know you, there's something different about you. They may not be able to put their finger on it. But because you're walking in this anointing, because you've had the Holy Spirit transfer life in you, it makes you different than them. Something is taking place. James 5:14 talks to the people who are experiencing sickness. And it says that if you're sick, one of the ways that you can receive healing through prayer is to go to the elders of the church. Now, anyone can pray and anyone can anoint, so it's not locked up in the elders, but it's at least one way. And we have oil here that is in these little bottles, and frequently when people are sick, I will just take some oil off and I'll do this, and I'll just touch their head and I'll rub it on their head. And I'm actually transferring, if you were to look, that you could see the oil on their head. Kind of like that ash that some people put on their ash, and Ash Wednesday, I was going to say Ash Sunday, but Ash Wednesday. So you see, you put this oil on. Now this is a symbolic thing, but the word symbolic is interesting. It comes from two words. The word sim, which is, we get our English word, our synonym. It means together, something that's connected. It may be a different word, but it means basically the same thing. So there's a togetherness. And the last part of that word means to throw. So when you combine them, it's to throw together. So when you throw these two terms together, when you throw prayer and the anointing oil together, there is a revelation that God is doing something, more than a representation. See, that's what we've misunderstood. When I anoint people with oil, it's more than just representing God. It is actually releasing and revealing that God is at work. Now, I've been experiencing some physical challenges past week and was taking some tests in Fresno. And I came back down, and this morning someone was sharing with me what they were experiencing. And it seemed to be very, very similar to mine. I says, I got to talk with someone, but go down and get some anointing oil. I want you to anoint me. And they went down and got it, and they prayed for a prayer of anointing. They actually put oil on my head, and I didn't wipe it off. I know it's there. Why? God is at work. By faith we say, and this is more than just a representation. This is a releasing of God's presence. So there's a transfer of life. Now listen, this is critical, because true ministry isn't just doing things. True ministry isn't the style that we have. It is the transfer of life. You can be doing a lot of things and just be busy and not have any life in those things. But I tell you, this is a season where God wants to do away with the lifeless stuff and transfer life to us. That's when you walk in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So many times we get involved thinking that we're ministering, but it's just doing a lot of stuff. But the anointing is a transfer of life. Is what you are doing, are you transferring life from yourself to others? Is God using you to transfer life? This anointing, this life, is the gauge for our fruitfulness. The gauge of our fruitfulness isn't how much we do. A gauge of our fruitfulness is how much life is being transferred. I've always been impressed with Peter in the book of Acts, where it says that people were even trying to get his shadow to fall upon him. It's like this guy was walking with the Lord. Now, he wasn't perfect. God doesn't need perfect people. He just needs people who are progressing and moving in the right direction. But he's progressing, he's following, and there's so much of an influence that's happening in him that people want to just touch his shadow, kind of like a shadow anointing. He's with God. Now that's what happens. There's a transfer of life that takes place, and there's a release to the lives of people because they've contacted us. Ministry is more than saying the right thing in the right way at the right time. It's more than style. Many churches are successful. Many churches are touching a lot of people. And there's no one style that brings success. We have a personal style, but it's not our style that will bring fruitfulness. It is the anointing from the living God that will bring anointing, will bring fruitfulness. This anointing, this transfer, when you study it, it is so much connected to the Holy Spirit that someone might say, it's just the Holy Spirit poured out. But there's something that's unique and different about that anointing, but it's not just the Holy Spirit, even though he's the one that brings life, there's something unique about that. It's just like going back to the illustration of putting wax on a car. You still see the car. You can't see the wax, but it's the wax that makes the car more beautiful. It's the Holy Spirit that uses our lives to touch people. So the question that I have is my life causing life to happen in the lives of people? When they leave me, are they better off? Is something taking place in them? Well, how do you walk in this anointing? Well, here's these two concepts. Number one, the anointing is a setting apart. I have a designation. I have an assignment. I have a position that God has given to me. It may be a pastor. It may be a pilot. It may be a construction worker. It may be a student. It may be a plumber. There's lots of different titles but God has given me a position. That's the first part. The second part is that there's a transfer of life. Now, you've got to bring these two together. How do you walk in the anointing? By embracing and accepting your position, rising up to that occasion. That's what was said today through the word. To rise up to the occasion and be what God has called you to be. Stop using your body. Stop using your mind. Stop using your time for what you want and say, it is wholly devoted to you. I'm your boy. And when you say, I'm your boy, I'm your girl, then all of a sudden there's a sense and a release of that anointing that causes something to happen, not only in you, but through you to the lives of people. And that's what we need. We don't need more busyness. We need more anointed ministries where I walk in the understanding of who I am in Jesus and what He has done in me and what He can do in you because of what He's done in me. And as I begin to walk in that, all of a sudden, there's life that happens. It takes place in and all around us. You walk in God's anointing when you embrace and accept your God-given position, which is number three in your notes. I'll tell you, dads, I wonder why there aren't so many anointed homes. Could it be that dads haven't taken the position, the rightful position? Rise up, dads. Become the men that God's called you to. Maybe you don't feel like you're worthy. You know, some people don't take their position because they're rebellious. And God, I hope God convicts people if that's them and if that's you. But some people don't take that rightful position because they've done so many things wrong and they've screwed up so many times that they just don't feel worthy. Let me tell you, you know, God wants you to take your rightful position. He wants you to get back on your feet. He's not done with you yet. And you may have never prayed with your kids, Dad. You can start tomorrow. You can even start tonight. You can stand. I'm going to take that rightful position. Moms, take that rightful position. God, who did God create you to be? Students, you who are in school, you don't have to go and party with everybody. You don't have to get involved with all the things they're getting in. You don't have to criticize. You don't have to put down. You don't even have to have an opinion. You just have to say, hey, I'm anointed. I'm not called to do that stuff. And when you accept that position and accept what God has called you to do, I'm telling you, something will happen in your life. Something will happen, and it's called anointing. There'll be a transfer. When people are having problems, you know who they're going to come to? They're going to come to you. They may criticize you and make fun of you because you're different than everybody else. But I'll tell you, when they're in the pit and when they're going through hell, they're going to come to you because something about you is different. They notice it. God's called us to walk in that. You don't have to be the greatest at what you do. I'm definitely not the greatest pastor there is, I'll tell you that. But I'll tell you, I've decided recently I'm going to be the pastor that I can be. I'm going to be the dad that I can be. You got to be the mother you're going to be. You don't have to try to be someone else because the anointing only happens when you accept who you are. You know, there are some churches that are called to a political arena. They're called, how many of you know churches that, man, they are really involved in the political? That is their anointing. They're called, we are not called to that anointing. If we were to try to put those clothes on, it would not work for us. We have to discover who we are. There are some churches that are called, anointed to specifically worship in an expressive way. And that's good, but we have to discover who are we anointed by, and what are we anointed to? Are we filling our position? Because if we are, there'll be an anointing. Seven different types of churches in the book of Revelation, and some are poor and some are rich, and some are this and some are that, and we have to say, God, what are we called to do? And as we do that, you will anoint us. There'll be life that happens, and it won't be like anybody else. I can't go to seminars as a pastor and try to bring back what someone else is doing. We have to discover what God's doing, and if that's true for the church, that's true for you too. You as an individual have to go before the Lord and say, God, I'm getting drained. I'm just getting burned out. Well, why are you getting burned out? It's because you're not discovering what God has called you to do. And I'm telling you, the enemy will keep you busy 28 hours a day. He's got no limit. Ecclesiastes says that the race really isn't to the swift and the battle isn't to the strong. You know, I have found out that, men, victory comes to those who take their position. And you don't always do good at it. You sometimes mess up. But when you take your position, God blesses you. Number four in your notes, I want you to declare that when Jesus said, "This day you have fulfilled this saying," what he's saying is that there is an open door now. Heaven now is available to you. The anointing was upon things. The anointing was upon prophets. The anointing was upon priests. The anointing was upon kings. The anointing was upon leaders. But now, because of what I'm doing, the anointing is upon you. Man, there's an anointing not just for the guys in the ministry. There's an anointing at school. It's an anointing on the construction site. And I tell you, I got a guy working on my house. I'm having some work done, and his name's Steve Dela Cruz. Some of you know him. I tell you, I just love that guy. You know, I mean, he's working in construction is a hard field. You're around a lot of people, and we were listening to him the other day talk to someone, and things weren't going well. And I'm telling you, that man was a man of God. I mean, he was taking his rightful place. He was standing there, and he was doing it in a godly way. Man, it was just so refreshing. He was anointed. Listen to this prophecy. It's tremendous. Joel 2:28. "Afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions." I used to use that to determine who was old and who was young. But I've since discovered that the actual interpretation there in the original language is that it's synonymous. That's the old and young will see both of them. The old and young, whether it's educated or uneducated, the rich, the poor. And God's going to break all boundaries. When he says, "This day it's happened, you're seeing it's taking place. I've broken it wide open. I'm pouring it all out." Heaven's doors are open. They're not shut any longer to the one who will embrace his calling and who will understand this thing about transfer of life. 2 Corinthians 1:21. "Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us." 1 John 2:20. "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth." 1 John 2:27. "As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but he, as his anointing, teaches you about all things, and as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has been taught, remain in him." The last truth is I want you to grasp with me that there is a fresh anointing that's available for you. Psalms 92, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil," David says. Now let me conclude before we partake of communion together and ask God to give us a fresh anointing. Let me just tell you how this message came about. And by the way, if you've bought a new car and if you want to keep it under warranty, one of the things you have to do is change your oil. You have to do it every 3,000 miles. And if you slip up once, they can, you know, say that your warranty is invalid. And I believe that there's a times where God wants to reign again, to give a fresh anointing. Not necessarily even a new anointing, even though the Hebrew word "new" means something brand new in the sense of never experienced before, but oftentimes, and more often than not, it's used in the sense of a fresh thing. There's a freshness, an updatingness. As we sang this morning, I didn't know what Sandy had planned for the songs, but I just was so moved because it is starting to rain. Last Sunday, I was awakened about 4:15, 4:30 to lightning and thunder. How many of you were awakened? We've had the few incidences of that this past week. Well, I'm telling you, I usually wake up pretty quickly anyway, but I tell you, this thunder I just like jumped out of the bed. It was like, I don't even know how I did, but I was probably that high off the bed, jumped out. And instantly, I thought about all the things that needed to be covered up. And because it started, at our vicinity, it just started raining. We had some plaster out there. It wasn't my plaster, but the guys who were doing some work at my house had left the plaster outside. I thought, well, that's got to be covered up. So, 4:50 in the morning, I'm out there, and I'm getting a tarp and out of the shed, and I don't have a light, and I can't see, and I'm stumbling all over the place, and I'm covering up and getting my dogs a place to go. And by the time I get it all done, it stopped raining, and I'm thinking, geez, did all that work, and I just should have just stayed in bed. But something happened. I breathed in the air in the midst of that rain. And there's something about a freshness that comes right after a rain. And it's like, wow, the dust settles. And all of a sudden, there's something that renews you. And I began to meditate upon that. And it was as if I felt in my spirit that, and it was a personal thing, that he was beginning to rain upon me again. I've experienced a dry time, and there's lots of reasons for that. Not because I've been wayward or rebellious or anything of that nature. It's just that there's some reason with my own psyche and the way that I think that I think I've shut the doors of heaven and unable. And I feel like that I began to rain. He began to rain upon me, and I began to experience this fresh anointing. And then a couple of days later, I felt like, man, I'm supposed to let you know that this anointing is not just for pastors, but it's for you too. That the dry season that you've been going through, if you've been going through a dry season, then that day's over. Amen. Now, it's not over just because I say it. It's over if you embrace the position that God's given you. It's over if you accept your role. It's over if you say, I'm your man. Anything you want. I'm not the best. I don't have the greatest gifts, but I'm your man. If you can do something with me, you got it. That's the key that will reveal and release the anointing to happen, that life will take place. It's not by you being like someone else, or me being like someone else, or we as a church trying to be like someone else. It's who are we? Let us do that. And all of a sudden, his anointing takes place. Now that's what true ministry is all about. And if life isn't being transferred, then we're just doing busy work. The good news is that God's life is being transferred. But I believe that there is a double portion that God wants to pour out. So I began in that night. I began to hear the Spirit's voice speak to my heart. I don't. For those of you who are visiting, I don't claim to hear God's voice, audibly. It's just impressions that I get. Sometimes it's because I ate some bad pizza. It's not really His voice. I think it is, and then I find out it really wasn't. But I began to think that the Holy Spirit was speaking not only to me but speaking to us and saying the dry season is over. And yesterday, I wasn't even looking for it, but I was walking in our kitchen. And I was by myself. I wasn't even seeking the Lord. I don't even know what I think. I was getting myself a sandwich. And I was reminded of last year, in this month of September, but the Lord spoke at 5:15 in the morning, 5:45 in the morning to me, about pruning. And I wrote an article. I've got the article here. I wish I had time to read it to you. But I heard him saying, I told you at that time, we're going to go through a season of pruning. And we have done that. And I've seen God's work being worked out in that area. But I would like to prophesy this, but I'm believing, and I think this is what the Lord says, that the pruning's done now. And now there's a rain that's going to come. And we need some rain in this valley, by the way. Our farmers need some rain. With all the decisions that are being made about the water, stuff that's happening, we need to have God give the former rains and the latter rains. We need to get back to depending upon Him, saying, God, send us the rain. But whether we get rain or not, and I'm believing we are, we're going to get some spiritual rain. And for those of you who embrace your position and you rise up to the challenge, you new ones who are coming in, rise up to the challenge. Be people who will come down and pray for others. Commit yourself to being servers. Open up the door to let God use you. The old is gone, the new is coming. And if you will rise up, there will be an anointing that changes the lives, and it will actually break the yoke of the enemy. There's a scripture that in the Old Testament talks about the enemy's yoke will be broken by the anointing. The anointing. It's more than a feeling. And I pray that for us. I pray that for us. I would like Sandy to come, and if you wouldn't mind, and there's a song that she's going to either sing or play or something. It's about a sweet anointing. And I'd like to have us partake of communion together. And I'm going to ask those who are serving to prepare to serve. And communion is a time where those who have put their faith in Christ Jesus, they they take a piece of bread and they drink a cup, and the bread reminds them and myself of the fact that Jesus died for us. And the cup reminds us that he shed his blood for us. And as we eat and as we drink, we do it in remembrance of him and for what he's done. And I'm going to believe today that just like you would take medicine, just like you would drink something that would be good for your body to help you in times of sickness, that this cup and this bread would in fact bring and open the door for this present rain. What I'd like to have you do is to take a cup, take the bread, hold it, and together we'll receive that in just a few moments. And we're going to believe for God for that rain to be poured out upon us in this new season of time. Sandy, go ahead and lead us.
Sweet anointing of the Lord, fall on us, set us free. Sweet anointing of the Lord, fall on us, set us free. Here we stand, our hearts cry out, fill us now.
Stand with me, please. Hallelujah, Lord. So we lift this cup, and if you'd be inclined to just lift your bread and the cup like this. Father, there would be no anointing had you not sent your Son. There would be no anointing, Jesus, had you not come. Holy Spirit, there would be no way for us to understand what has happened if you were not to reveal it to us. But even as we partake of this bread today, and we drink of this juice today, would you somehow help us to understand, help us to discover the anointing that you have given to us, the calling that has been placed upon us. And may this bread and this cup that we drink and eat, may it strengthen us. Even as Elijah ran those miles under the power of the Spirit, and as Caleb in his old age received strength like an old young man, I pray that as we eat, pray that as we drink, that we would be a church in Hanford like others, I'm sure, but may we be a church that's anointed in what we do, doing only what you tell us to do, not what people think, but what you think. As we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we do it in remembrance of you. Go ahead and eat and drink. Hallelujah, Lord. Pass your cups to the aisle if you want to, and they'll collect it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, to preach the good news. To proclaim good stuff to people. That's what gospel's all about. I can't do anything else other than just share with you what's happened to me these past couple of weeks. And I'm kind of sharing some good news. Not just about what's happened in me, but what can happen in you. There's a fresh anointing that's available for you. I know it not because I've read about it or studied it. I know it because I've experienced it this past week. I'm just afraid it's going to leave. But I know that as I keep accepting my position and my role in life, whether it be dad or whether it be husband or pastor, whatever the title might be given, yours is student, yours is construction worker, yours is plumber, whatever it might be. If you accept that title, there's an anointing available for you. I want to challenge you. Some of you, as you leave, you may just sense that you would like to be anointed again for this new season. It would take us probably 45 minutes to an hour if everyone came down, so I'm banking on the fact that all of you don't feel a need for this. But I do think that there are some who really would benefit by having some revelation by the anointing of oil, not representation, but to go with the oil, and when you look, you know, God's at work in you to send you away. We've got some prayer teams. I'm going to need some extra people like Donna and Bruce Hodgkiss. Would you mind coming down? And Eddie, and would you and your wife mind coming down a few seconds and praying? I just need some people to come and lay hands on people. And just it doesn't have to be a long prayer. Just a prayer that says simply, I anoint you for this fresh season. I release the Holy Spirit to be upon you. That which is past. It's over. There's a new day that's coming, and that new day is right now. And that's what we want to offer to you. Now, if you don't sense a need for that or even a desire for that, would you do this for me? I want to challenge you. Would you, husbands and wives, when you go home, husbands, would you rise up and accept your position as the spiritual leader of the home? Get some oil. It doesn't have to be oil like this. It doesn't have to be oil from Israel. And some will tell you, boy, it's anointed oil if it comes from Israel. No, just get some oil out of your cabinet that you cook with. There's lots of different types of oil, the Old Testament does. And husbands, would you just take some oil and just say, honey, I want to anoint you. And just put a little bit on her head and say, honey, I thank God for being married to you, and I release a new anointing upon you. You know, she may die and go to heaven because of the shock. I don't know. There is some dangers that might happen. You need to consider those before you do it. Wives, maybe you could just touch your husbands and just pray a prayer of anointing. See if that doesn't release something new to happen in your home. There are bondages that are broke by the anointing. I'm telling you, when you walk in that anointing, that the enemy doesn't have control over your homes. You may be even single. I'm even going to suggest to you, I don't know if this is heretical or not, but if you're single, anoint yourself if you can't find someone else to anoint you. But somehow, open up to this new anointing. Thank you for coming today. Thank the workers on the way out. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, man, you need to come down. Let us start this process of anointing to happen in you. If you need an anointing, just come and let's give that to you.
Of the Lord. sweet anointing of the Lord. Fall on us, set us free.